The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to RC Plane Lab, a podcast for anyone interested in RC airplanes. We'll share tips and tricks on how to build models and talk about successful flights, epic crashes, and everything in between. Visit us at rcplanelab.com to sign up for our email list and to ask us questions. You can also text us or leave us a voicemail at 818-351-9846. Please help us out by rating and reviewing us in your favorite podcast app. Thanks for spending time with us today. Now here are your hosts, Ron and Tom.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the RC Plane Lab podcast. I'm Ron.
And I'm Tom.
I'm Lori.
And I'm Crystal.
Last week, we talked about the Brian episode, and we went up there and we got airplanes. Yeah, we said we got 7 airplanes, but we actually came home with 8.
How do we miscount?
I don't know. Apparently, we don't know how to count to 8. So, yeah, once recounting, yeah, we actually came home with 8.
What airplanes. Did we miss?
I think we counted the little chipmunks as 1, even though we got 2 of them.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So, yeah, well, 8 airplanes.
8
then.
Airplanes.
8 airplanes. 8 airplanes. Well, we need to do that again. Get more.
Go up there and get more?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, wow.
You never have too many.
Technically, though, it was 7 7 different airplanes. So you weren't completely wrong.
True.
Yeah.
She's right. Yeah. There's 7 different airframes, but there were 8 airplanes.
Physical. 8 physical
like
airplanes.
If you're into the numbers.
I don't like to be wrong. So
right.
We got 8 airplanes.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome.
Okay.
So, yeah. So our 50th episode, Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
So this episode is going to be just a kind of a background on the podcast up to this point, a little recap. Going to answer some questions that were sent in by listeners. So forgive me, I'm not going to call out the listeners' names because a lot of questions came from multiple listeners, like the same question was asked by multiple listeners. So if you hear your question and I don't say who it was, please don't be offended by that because someone else may have asked the same question.
Yeah.
All right. Well, welcome to your 50th episode, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah. So did you think that you would make it to 50 episodes?
Ron?
I didn't think about it. Like, I don't think numbers in that regard, and I don't think when we started I had any idea of what to expect.
Which is weird to me because you're all about the numbers.
For certain things, yes.
Yeah.
For planning and future purposes, nah.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I didn't think we'd make it past 20.
Really?
To be honest, yeah, because I thought we would run out of material.
I think it's just always been, after we finish one, it turns into what's next.
Yeah, well, that's... I could see that, but yeah, I honestly believe that we would run out of stuff to talk about, and people would get bored just listening to us ramble about airplanes.
Well, they might be bored.
Well, that's true. I'm not saying they're not, but
I always find it entertaining.
Crystal, do you?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've listened to a few. Yes, uh-huh. A few. 50. I mean, that's a lot.
That is
a
lot.
It is a lot.
It doesn't seem like we should be at 50.
It doesn't. I mean, it's weird. It's like. It feels like we've been doing it for a long time, but it also at the same time doesn't feel like we've been doing it very long at all.
Well, it's not
strange.
Even been a year.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So, yeah, we're still babies.
Now, are you guys still having fun with it or does it feel like work now?
Is it your job?
It depends.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I'm enjoying
it. Really does.
I still have fun with it.
Overall, I would say I enjoy it and I'm having fun, but there are days when it does feel like work.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, you know, we record on Mondays, mm-hmm. Monday nights. So typically Mondays at work for me are not fun. So after a tough Monday at work, come home and then, oh, I got to go out to Ron's so we can record.
No, it's, I get to go
sometimes,
out to Ron's.
I get to get away from my wife.
Sometimes it Ron's. Feels like work, especially after a tough Monday.
Well, and what you have, for you that I don't have to worry about is the drive. So, yeah, it does add an hour of driving back and forth to an evening to get here and go home.
That's true.
43 minutes.
43 minutes.
And we know who's counting.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's not that bad. Like, I mean, there's times where it does get a little bit overwhelming, but I'm still having fun with it, or else we wouldn't be doing it.
That's true. Overall, I'm still having fun. So
it's awesome.
What about you guys? When Ron first started talking about the podcast, how'd you feel about that, Crystal?
I don't know. I just like, sure.
Well, there we go.
No,
I think Tom brought it up to me, and I'm always like, yes,
yeah,
do
it's
it.
Like, do it. It's but
true. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Lori's always the excited one about something new. Yeah. Like, I'm kind of a old stick in the mud. I don't really like change very much.
He is a creature of habit.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. when Ron first brought it up to me, I was hesitant. I was like, how much time is this going to take? And, you know, something new and different, and I don't know anything about it. But, like, I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
I knew you would have fun doing it.
Yeah, and I have.
Yeah.
So. Well, I know when I first asked Crystal about it, because I had thought about it myself a little bit, and I was like, sure. Let's start talking this out to actual people instead of just in my head. She was all for it. I mean, she's always been one that's not.
You heard it here, folks. Ron does a lot of talking to himself in his head.
And I answer too, believe
it or
not.
He's his own best friend.
No, but she's always been one to, like, she's been my biggest cheerleader for all of this kind of stuff. Really, she's been pushing me to do more than I would do just on my own. When it comes to purchasing things, equipment, cameras, all that kind of stuff, I'm usually the one that at first I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And I think about it a little bit and I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. And then she just completely is the opposite. At first she's like, well, let me think about it. And then she's like, just do it.
Once she commits,
don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Okay. So once you decided I'm going to talk to Tom about it, what was your next, like, what made you say, okay, yes, we're going to do it. Like, let's
do it.
Yeah,
what made you bite the bullet to actually do the podcast?
Because he said he wanted to do it. No, it was actually the night you guys were over when we talked about it. I went in and ordered the stuff to record.
Yeah.
That's true.
And then we started pretty close after that. Yeah.
And then COVID happened.
Yeah. That made it a little bit more, that was challenging, I guess.
It was.
You know, it really, like, when that happened, the only difference was we had to learn how to record separate. And we hadn't really learned how to record together.
Together, yeah.
So it wasn't that big of a difference as much as just more technicality things that we had to figure out.
Things. Yeah, recording separately via phone is how we ended up doing it. Remember, I would call you, like, what we found out worked was me calling you and then doing it that way. It took us a while to get to that point to where it actually sounded okay.
Well, we tried a lot of the online things first, but my internet out here in the country is so terrible that we're limited with what we can do.
Yeah.
So what normally would probably have worked better if we had better internet just did not work for us at all.
Right.
So the phone call route worked out, I think, as good as can be expected.
Yeah, I think so. It seemed like it was pretty difficult to sync.
Yeah,
the audio initially, but once you got that sorted out, I think it sounded, like you said, as good as it could have.
Yeah, it was just more difficult not having the in person.
Right,
you know,
I was going to say the chemistry,
make eye contact, being able to read each other's faces. I'm almost done talking, so now I'm getting ready to say something.
Yeah,
as opposed to just listening to somebody on the phone.
Yeah, I think you guys have way better chemistry when you're in person.
Well, it's more fun in person.
Yeah,
it is, and just like you said, we can read each other's cues. You know, body language. You know. We speak more with our body language sometimes, I think, than with our words.
Okay. Yeah, so, I agree.
So absolutely. You talked about how, like, you guys record here at your house. How has it affected your household overall?
It has overrun our house.
No, you think so?
I don't know. We're in your dining room, Ron.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah,
Ron, we're recording this episode in the dining room.
Where else are we going to record it? I mean,
well, normally, so in case anyone doesn't know, normally we record in your basement. Mm-hmm. We have a little area down there that Crystal was gracious enough to let us kind of commandeer. But yeah, we're recording this episode in the upstairs dining room. So,
well, it makes sense. I mean, you know,
we're more comfortable here.
Right. There's more room. We can kind of stretch out.
And it's not permanent, right?
No. It'll get taken down the next couple weeks.
Semi-permanent.
Well, and I think for you guys, it's a little different too, because you have Piper here. And so when the guys record, it's kind of like...
Yeah, it's quite, downstairs. Yep. We put a movie on so she doesn't pitter-patter everywhere.
Yeah.
Yes, those feet can be loud when she's running from one room to another.
Yes. Ron has done a lot of editing out of little footprints and footsteps upstairs. Yes.
Oh, I'm sure it's made it through, and that's okay.
And that's, yeah.
I mean, well, we're all human. It's just, it's...
It just means it's real.
Yeah, folks. We're not in a professional studio or anything, so it's cool.
So I've got a question here. It was sent in by one of the listeners. It says, have you noticed a financial impact with doing the podcast? So I'll start. I mean, for me personally, it's been a fairly small financial impact compared to Ron's.
Until the Duelist started.
And well, compared to Ron's.
That's true.
Like I didn't sheepishly, I admit, I did not outlay any cash for the recording equipment or anything. And Ron took care of all that. So initially for me, it was small.
Your time.
And yeah. And I was getting ready to say, unless you know, time has been my biggest,
and your knowledge.
Well, it's that doesn't something. Cost anything.
Yes.
oh, it does in the long run, I guess.
But Ron can probably talk a little bit more about the financial side of it.
I don't know if I want to answer that.
Not with Crystal sitting over there.
Oh, she knows.
She knows.
She knows everything. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. She knows.
No, I'm kidding.
No, we've spent several thousand dollars on equipment and all that kind of stuff. And that's, you know, we talked about it too. That was one reason that we wanted to start with the Patreon thing. Just to those that want to help support us, we wanted to give them a way to do it. And we really appreciate any little bit helps.
Exactly.
And anything that we have ever received... and will receive, as far as I can tell in the future, will go back into the show.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're still in the red.
Way.
Which is okay.
I can't even see black from here. That's okay.
We did this because Ron wanted to.
Yeah, I did, I guess. And Tom begrudgingly said, yeah, let's try this.
We do appreciate the support that we do get. And just like you said, it 100% goes back into the podcast. Like all the stuff that I've purchased for the Duelist Project up to this point has been all from household.
Like, that's true.
Lori has allowed me to spend.
But it's not been, like the Duelist is not a podcast related item.
True.
It's used for
content,
content and stuff. Yeah. However, when this ends, you're still going to have your Duelist.
That's absolutely true.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully
that's the goal.
Crash.
Yeah. Yeah. So the financial part, has that been the scariest part of the podcast?
Oh boy.
Not for me. I mean, one moment just pops right to the top of that list for me. I don't know if it's the same one for you, Ron, but
I think I probably know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. So recording the episode with Brian Burkhar, I don't think we've talked about it, have we? What happened?
I don't think so either.
So Ron has PTSD.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, so I don't bring that up.
But yeah, we went up to Dynamic Boss and had our interview with Brian, and which was great. Made for a great episode. And,
it was fun.
You did a great job with the editing, I have to say, again. It's
okay.
But it almost didn't
happen.
Yeah. So we recorded, however many hours worth of audio that you edited down to the show.
We only took honestly, I don't want to make it sound like we took like half of the episode out. We only lost about 3 or 4 minutes worth of stuff to edit.
Oh, that's...
It wasn't...
less than I would have anticipated.
Yeah, just the random cough here, cough there kind of thing is all we took
and
out.
My and my fidgeting.
A couple sentences where we wanted to clarify something is all. So, yeah, but it was good.
Once we were done recording, you went to hit save or whatever it is you do at the end.
Yeah.
And what happened?
I don't actually know what happened other than there was a big error that popped up and said something about files being corrupted and all that kind of stuff. And I just sank. I mean, like my heart just dropped.
Yeah. So like a little background, it takes us nearly 2 hours to get there because it's not a local. I mean, it's a local hobby shop.
It's as local as we can get to a good hobby shop.
Yeah. So it's 2 hour drive there, 2 hour drive back. So there's 4 hours of the day plus the, let's just say 2 hours of the actual sit down conversation plus let's say an hour of prep. There was no time to re-record.
No.
The interview. And something we've discovered, from experience, the second go around is never really the same or maybe as good as the first go around.
No.
So it scared me. Like I thought for sure that we had lost that entire interview.
Yeah.
But luckily,
thanks to Google and figuring out how to recover files and that kind of stuff, we were able to save it. Yeah.
Which is awesome. I remember him coming home and he was just devastated. It's like, oh my gosh, well, what do we do next? You know, he was up most of the night and finally figured it out.
Yeah, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, hey. I can hear audio coming through these, so we're good. I'm going to bed.
Yeah, and I actually got the text, I think.
Yeah.
Whenever it happened, it was like, oh, myself, great,
like,
you got it.
Yeah, I thought to myself, like, he might be sleeping, but I don't care.
Yeah, no, that was fine. I don't mind being woken up for that sort of news.
Yeah, I kind of figured you would want to know that anyway. Yeah.
So for me, that was probably the scariest moment so far. How about you?
I would agree. If that's the route we're taking, I would agree that's the most scariest that we've had. But also, not tarp on it, but yeah, putting so much money out for stuff is never
because there's no guarantee that you're
being sure of what we're even doing.
Well,
and sinking that much money into it—that's like diving into a pool not knowing if there's water in there.
Yeah, that's true. So, that's true.
Or ice, maybe, because it's cold out here. Because it is
cold. It's been very cold. And windy. Yeah,
cold and windy. Poor Crystal. She goes outside like 3 or 4 times a day now with the oh, come on, what's it called?
It's just the bird bath.
The bird bath. Oh, she goes outside with boiling water now like 3 or 4 times a day to make bird bath melt.
Oh, yeah, to melt. And then, you know, frozen. I make sure it's not hot water that stays in there. But
isn't there a pond around here they could visit?
It's probably not frozen. Yeah.
Also. But no, thankfully, we just ordered a little de-icer for the bird bath.
Yes, thankfully.
You care way more about your birds than I care about mine.
Hey, I just started it this year, so
it's fun to look outside of the windows and see them eating and, mm-hmm. and playing in that. But anyway, yeah, so that's that.
Me and my bird bath.
So, Ron, what would you say the most, like, maybe not the scariest, but the most daunting thing? Like, the thing you've maybe... dreaded doing the most with the podcast?
Oh, dreaded? I don't think I've dreaded anything because I don't think I'm smart enough to know what to dread. I mean, really.
You don't know what you don't know.
Right. And that's probably been the most difficult thing, maybe. The most daunting thing is not knowing what I'm doing. But, you know, I'm okay being the behind the scenes trying to do the technical side of things. I don't have to have the answers.
Yeah.
So
for me, it's... like, it's daunting to try to explain a concept or a procedure in a way that I can convey the subject.
Get the gist across.
Yeah, without confusing folks.
I can see that.
For me, that's daunting because I'm not very good with words.
Yeah.
Just ask Lori.
Mm-hmm. I concur.
Or anybody.
Or anyone.
No, I'm kidding.
But you know, putting a cohesive thought into words is difficult for me. Mm-hmm. So sometimes trying to explain a technical subject is, you know, daunting for me.
So videos will be helpful, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I can use my hands.
And this piece here.
I'm pointing to this thing and you glue it to that thing and hold it with this thing and
So let's switch gears. So instead of it being the scariest, what is your favorite thing been about doing the podcast?
Oh, I love how I can buy an airplane or anything RC related and call it show prep. nice. I mean, that's what I did when we walked in last week with the trunk full of airplanes. Crystal's like, what
eight
did
of
you,
them, by the way?
Yeah, 8 now, not 7. Crystal's like, what did you get? And I'm like, show prep.
I mean, it's for the podcast. Nice. I promise.
And now it's downstairs
nice.
All over.
Right. But that's okay. We'll get it. No, we won't get it cleaned up. It's probably going to be... kiss your basement goodbye.
I like that you're a realist.
Farewell. Yeah, I definitely... Yeah, realism works well. I know I'm not going to clean.
Yeah. I love that the podcast is keeping me, like, plugged in to the hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like we talked about, I think, on the last episode or maybe the one before that, you know, the peaks and valleys of my involvement in the hobby.
Yeah.
The podcast has definitely kept me, you know, really kind of plugged in and involved in the hobby.
This is your longest flow. Quite a long time.
That's flowing. Okay.
I didn't know this was his longest flow.
So it's not ebbing, it's flowing.
It's flowing. Okay. Yeah.
So this is my longest flow in quite a while. Longest
flow. Nice. Your flow.
Mm-hmm. You're definitely flowing. Good for you.
And glowing.
Oh, Laura says I'm glowing. Okay.
I don't know.
Because you're
about
so
that.
Happy.
Now, do you guys have any favorite episodes?
I do. I still love the electric motor episode.
Really?
Even though my involvement was small with that, I learned so much from your research and how you, you know, explained everything. That's one of my, certainly one of my favorite episodes, if not my favorite.
That's a nice one. I enjoyed that one, but I think my favorite one is probably the batteries episode.
Okay.
Like the batteries episode was fun because I knew a lot of that stuff, so I didn't have to like learn a lot of new things or go, you know, start from scratch and make sure that everything I knew was right.
Yeah.
Like with the electric motors, there's a lot more that went into it. Just kind of verify what I thought I knew.
Trust but verify.
Yeah. You right. did a lot of research.
It shows. But, well, I mean, it's a great episode, I think.
With mm-hmm. batteries and with LiPos and stuff, they're just so fun to use and to figure out, you know, sizing and all that kind of stuff that I enjoyed that episode. Yeah. That didn't seem stressful. That just seemed fun.
Yeah. And for you, a lot of the episodes are stressful.
Well, I don't know about stressful.
Like usually when we're done recording, you always, you say the same thing almost every time.
This one's terrible.
I don't know how I feel about this one. I don't think this one's very good.
Yeah.
And they always end up being at least okay.
Well,
that's what we strive for.
We aim for okay here.
They aim for mediocre.
Yeah. I tell you, another one of my favorite episodes was the propeller episode. I like that one too.
Yeah, you would, because there was a lot of propeller talk.
Yeah.
Air screws.
I was going to say air screws. Ron's trying to bring back air screws.
Bring back air screwing. Yeah. That's the best.
Air screwing.
And if they're on a boat, they are called?
Propellers?
Water screws.
Oh, water screws.
I was going to say boat screws.
Nice. Boat screws. You heard it here first.
I'm bringing back boat screws.
Yep. So here's a question from one of the listeners. So what has been the most challenging episode?
Oh, motors.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
because of the research and stuff that you had to do.
A lot of technical jargon and stuff that went into that one. So
I could see
for me, that was the most difficult.
Yeah. Physically challenging for me, I would have to go with taking the show on the road up to Brian. That was a challenge.
Really? See, I don't think that
because the setup was, you know, it's a different location that, and yeah, physically it was the most challenging, but yeah, I would have to agree with you. The motor episode was probably the most challenging because I knew nothing about that one.
Yeah, I'll go along with that.
So yeah, cool.
is it hard to edit them?
It can be. You guys, when you had your wife's episode come to it.
Oh, come on. That was an awesome episode, right?
It was a good episode.
It
was so awesome.
But you would be surprised how long it takes to learn, like, how to bleep cuss words. Guys.
Yeah,
those are sentence enhancers. Sentence enhancers.
I had to learn that just because of you. But yeah, no, other than that, that's completely like one of the most difficult ones to edit. Yeah. I mean, even so, than like our very first one that was pretty bad, that one was even worse.
So how about this? What has been the most time-consuming episode? Like maybe not
is
difficult
that the
to
motors?
Edit, but the time-consuming? Like, I mean, I'll say, to date, our longest single episode has been the propeller episode.
Oh, really?
And that was an hour and 56 minutes, I think.
But do you remember,
do you have one that sticks out in your head since you do all the editing? Was there one that was like just?
This is a hot mess.
So like the research, the editing, the actual.
I think the first one was probably the hardest one, mm-hmm. and because while there wasn't as many edits as you know, you guys, there was the whole learning to do everything because I had no clue how to use the software.
Yeah,
and so that took a lot of time. So I think that would be the most like time consuming type one. And that first one, I'm still embarrassed by it. Like, I want to redo it.
Hey, listen, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, you're right.
And I don't want to redo it. I would like to keep it just like it is so we know, so we can go back and listen to it and be like, hey, you remember when we used to sound like this? And then compare it to now and
you're right.
Show
and
growth.
That's why I ultimately decided I didn't even want to bring up redoing it because I don't want somebody to listen to the first episode
and then be disappointed by the second one.
By the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, yes. You know, and so on.
Keep it consistent.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to have like a decent one and then go back to like the pre-decent levels. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, we're going to leave it as is. And if people listen to the first one and think, hey, this is okay to listen to, well, it gets better.
Well, yeah. I think over time your chemistry has really solidified. I think in the beginning you guys were just kind of like stiff.
It's very awkward to do this.
It is.
I think.
Yeah. It takes a while to get comfortable with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because this is not a normal conversation.
No. No.
I mean, it is, but there's so much other stuff around that it's just...
Well, and there's all this recording equipment so that if you have stage fright, you know, you get somewhat intimidated by the microphone sitting right in front of your face and wearing the headphones or, you know... And then you looking at the computer the whole time, you know, making sure everything's recording the way it should and the
and
levels are all...
not airing out.
And not airing out, yeah. So, but yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah.
So what have you learned since then?
Honestly, I didn't know how much time and effort it was going to take to do this. Like, I remember when we first started talking about it, I told Tom, it would, you know, it should take us about a half hour a week.
Yeah, I remember that. It's like, oh, that's perfect, you know? Yeah. And not much time out of your day.
And obviously, you didn't do math because you said you wanted your episodes to be an hour, but it's only going to take a half an hour to record it.
Well,
she's got a point.
We didn't really aim, like, for an actual time frame at first. Really. I mean, hour is kind of what we've settled into.
Yeah.
But I think that's more like I don't want them to be longer than they need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't want them to be like short just to be short. So whenever we stop with our conversation and get to the end of something is how long the episode is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't intentionally try to pull them longer or shorten them up, which it's just
natural. You don't want to add just little fluff.
Yeah. When they're done, and usually it's weird. They always seem to end up right around just shy of an hour.
Yeah, 45 to an hour 15 is probably pretty close to what we always do. So. And it's funny, though, because if I remember right, I think I told you when we first started talking about doing this, too, that we could do like four in a day.
Yeah, I do remember that.
You know what? You can
just come out for the day and we'll just knock them all out.
We'll knock out a whole month's worth in a day.
Yeah, come out on a Saturday. We'll get it all done. Then you don't have to come out for another month. We're good.
Yep.
A lot of promises I made that I haven't come through on. Man, I don't get it.
Would you say that's the most surprising thing?
No, I don't think that's the most surprising thing. To me, I'm surprised more by the reach we've had. Like, honestly, we've been downloaded and listened to in 49 states, which does not include Alaska. That's the one we've missed. So if any of you guys know somebody in Alaska, have family or friends, tell them, hey, download there. I want to hit all 50.
I know no one in Alaska.
Well, yeah, I don't either. I'm talking to our listeners.
I'm a listener.
Well, that's true.
She?
Crystal, are you?
You said a few occasionally. Yeah.
But we've almost 60 countries we've been listened to in.
That's incredible.
And that I don't understand
to
that.
To me, that's incredible.
Like, that's nuts.
Yeah. When this first started, I didn't even think about outside of the United States.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. I didn't really either. Well, of course, I didn't really think about much of anything because I had no clue what I was in for.
But. Well, same with me. So everything's been a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I tell you what really surprises me is the number of people who download our episodes, listen to it, and then download the following week's episodes. Yeah. Well, you know what I'm saying?
Like we're not
like
turning people
off. Yeah. Listening.
It's, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's probably happening. You know, there probably are some folks that are listening and be like, oh, these guys, you know.
This Tom guy, he's terrible.
Yeah, he's a jerk
this
or whatever.
This Ron guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Doesn't know what the hell he's talking
Tom's
about.
Tom's the star of the show.
I've said that before. I don't know what I'm talking about, but, so it's okay.
What does surprise me is the number of people who are repeat or, you know, downloaders. Downloaders? Is that the correct term?
How many actual listeners you mean? Is that what we're talking about?
That keep coming back. That's what really surprises me. So here's a question that, I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt anybody.
No, you're fine.
No, you're good.
Here's a question that was submitted, I'm assuming by maybe wives. It says, how do you support your husband in the hobby? Lori?
Do they mean financially?
Well, I don't know. They didn't specify.
So like,
I would assume that they are wanting to know how you make it so that I can stay in the hobby.
So it's manageable for both of you.
Yes. I would say.
Hmm.
That's a hard question.
Well, I think for you, you own most of the stuff already, so it's not like a huge financial impact. Now, when you said, Lori, we're doing the Duelist, I was like, do it, because you've talked about it for so long.
Yeah.
So I was just like, whatever, it's fine.
To me, it's more than that. It's you allow or you understand that it takes time.
Yes.
And this is sort of kind of my therapy.
Yes.
And you understand that I need that time and you are pretty gracious with giving it to me.
Well, see, you answered your own question.
I mean, that's to me, that's what it means.
Crystal? No, it is. That's exactly what it means.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have a passion to do this. So it's not like you just came home one day and, hey, here's a plane or
hey, I'm doing a podcast about what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had no knowledge. It's like, no, you have the knowledge, you have the passion. And we like to support you in that.
Well, and I think too is, I mean, it's always been a part of our relationship.
It absolutely has.
100%.
Yeah, because I was already involved in the hobby when you and I met.
That's correct. And so it's always been a part of it. And so it wasn't a foreign concept. And, you know, we don't have small children at home anymore. So there's not a whole lot of things demanding. It makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference.
Well aware.
Huge difference. Huge difference. So, you know, it makes you happy. And if it makes you happy, it makes me happy.
Aw. Mm-hmm. Aw. Now, what do you really mean?
That's what I really mean. We haven't been married 27 years for nothing.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, you know, with Crystal and her support too, like, I don't know how. Really, at this point, this is probably the worst time for us to have done this. Like, to be 100% honest.
I could not agree with you.
I would agree with you.
We have, you know, a three-year-old at this point. You're going back to school, which you have another Crystal's year and a half or however long it's going to be in that.
Straight A's, by the way.
Yep. Very good. But her last test and all that stuff, straight A's and all that.
Very stressful.
Very stressful for everybody involved, but that's okay.
We got through it.
You did.
But yeah, you still find the time to give me time to do this and to give us time to enjoy what we do with these little toy airplanes that we just kind of build and fly and crash and, you know. When you got to take a step back and really realize this is a hobby. This is just something we do for fun. And you do a very good job of giving me the time to do that. And thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Well, I think it's a give and take, though.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but she's not taking very much right now.
Well, but
I'm not, am I?
You take care of Piper when she needs to study.
Well, that I mean, like, you're not taking a lot of, like, you don't get a lot of you time for things that, you know, your school doesn't give you the same feeling that doing this does for
us.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a necessary evil for you at this point where you have to do it.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. The school and that, and being a mom, that it's really something, you kind of want to do, but it also is something you have to do. So it requires
It doesn't time. Recharge but your
the
batteries.
Stuff we do is just something we want to do because it's fun.
You know what
I mean? So it really is more of a, I think it's more of an investment on your guys's part than it is for us, if that makes sense.
No, I can
see
that.
I'm in the mindset of, you know, this is what he needs to do right now, and I'm fully here to support him. I know in the future, it'll get easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, I'm glad we're looking forward to something easier instead of something more difficult.
Yes.
I mean, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have teenage years with a daughter to look forward to. So good luck with that.
Good luck. Well. We're done with that.
So here's a follow-on. What are some of the ways that you share the hobby with your spouse or with each other but I'm assuming they want to know spouse. So,
like, what do you mean share?
Well, like, I mean, I don't want to read too much into the question, but I would say, you know, Lori and I don't really share the same hobbies.
No.
So she's not into RC airplanes and...
Well, we do. I was going to say
you share every other thing.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, you don't go...
biking.
You don't go flying and you don't build airplanes and stuff. But occasionally I do... seek your advice on, you know, color combinations for trim schemes or, you know, hey.
And I do ask you how your projects are going.
You do. So that.
Because it's important to you.
It would be, while it would be fun, I think, to, like, if you got into airplanes and wanted to fly.
I don't know that you would think that would be very fun.
Well, I think everything else we do together is fun.
I don't know. I have a feeling, like, if I ever flew, he would be so, or like such a nervous wreck.
Well, he's a nervous wreck when, when Cody flies with someone else. So
I'm
course,
a nervous wreck when I fly.
So. Yeah, you don't fly unless you know you can land.
Well, that's pretty much what everybody should do, but
should.
I think me flying would be the equivalent of me driving with you in the car. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it that bad?
He thinks it is.
Really? I can ride with Crystal, no problem.
Tom can ride with me as long as he's asleep. He does not like to be awake while I'm driving.
I think it's a control thing.
I think honestly. So. Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't consider myself like, you know, a control freak kind of person, but something about driving and
I think it would be the same for flying.
Like, I can ride with Ron, no problem.
Well, that's because I'm a good driver.
I'm a good driver. But I think the flying would be the same. I think I would feel that you would be critiquing every little thing that I did. And I don't need that kind of stress in my life.
Okay.
Well, back to the original, the question of
sharing.
What was it? Something about sharing the hobby.
How do
or
you
something.
Share it with Crystal?
Like with Crystal, I think it's more, well, first off, look around the house. We share a lot of the hobby with her.
In almost every room of your house.
Share with or force upon? I think it's kind of force upon.
Well, at this point, Crystal. She's a willing partner.
Yeah. So she knows what she's into now. So it's sharing.
To a certain extent.
No, but a lot of times, like when we do the fly-ins and that kind of stuff, she'll come out to the field and she has fun with that.
I do.
Would you like to say more?
No, I just...
Crystal, what is it about the fly-ins that you like?
I don't know. Just everybody gathering around and watching all the planes and I don't know. I like the color scheme of all of them and how they fly.
And see, you make me feel like a bad hobby wife whenever you go out there. Because Tom's like, Crystal came, and I'm like, oh, shoot.
Well, come on with me, we can
a little picnic. If the weather is good and there's no bugs.
No bugs, oh my gosh.
Then I'm good.
Get some bug spray.
We do, this year was bad, especially with the little sweat bees.
Yeah, that was terrible.
But
I mean, that's the biggest thing. She likes to come out and not as much now since Piper's been,
Yeah. I think this is the first year, though, that it's like, okay, she's three. She can come with me. We can do more stuff together.
And then, of course, this is the year we have COVID hit and all that kind of stuff. So it's not been nearly as fun this year for that kind of stuff as it has before. But we'll get back to it. Once again, it's going to get easier as time goes on.
Yeah. I'm excited for the years to come.
Me too.
That's so funny because
I know they don't know what they're getting into.
Why? Because the best years of your life are behind you. Is that what you're saying? Or
you have teenage years with a daughter coming, so
it's gonna be rosy. I mean, it's gonna be so perfect.
You heard it here, everyone. Mark this point in time.
Yeah, I'm gonna regret that later.
10 years from now, we're gonna revisit this topic.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mark it down. Put it on your calendar. You've got a Google Calendar. Put it on there 10 years from now.
There you go.
How do you like living with a teenage daughter? So, Ron, what would you say we've learned from each other for this whole experience?
So not to offend you. Yeah, I got to start that way. No.
If you have to start it with not to offend, you're probably going to offend.
Well, but that's a way to make it okay.
No, Ron has a way of making it so that I don't get mad most of the time.
I've learned a lot, obviously, about the hobby from you. But I think one thing, especially after doing this duelist, I've said before how, I was embarrassed to have you look at some of the things I've done on and how you're like, no, it's fine and all that stuff. And I really thought you were just, making me feel better and placating me and all that kind of stuff. This is where I'm not trying to offend you. But when I went over to your house and saw your duelist, I realized that you weren't wrong. It's not... Lori's looking at me like, how dare you?
No, it's perfect. What are you talking about?
No, it's not.
Well, but looking at, it's like... When you covered your nose, when I did mine, there's not a lot of perfect lines and that kind of stuff. I had to do it multiple pieces, and I was like, I don't even want him to see this because I don't know how else to do it. And then I saw yours, and it's like,
looks
you
exactly
did it
the same
way that I did mine. So maybe it's okay.
It absolutely is okay.
It goes back. I remember my neighbor, long time ago, before he moved away, when we were working on stuff out in the shop, would always tell me, because apparently I'm sometimes a perfectionist with stuff. He told me, like I said, a lot of times, we're not building a church. And it's like, Okay. That's what I kind of try and keep, you know, putting in the back of my mind is it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be good.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, it's your airplane. If you're satisfied with it, that's really all that matters.
Well, but a lot of times I don't know if I'm satisfied with it or not. Like, I don't know if I should be satisfied with it.
Oh.
So, like, when you saw how I was doing the fuselage to begin with, I started on the top and I went down. And you're like, what? You started on the top? You didn't start on the bottom?
That's not how I said it.
Sometimes I think he does that just to mess with you.
Well,
sometimes I do, but
just to watch the panic on your face.
In that particular case. No, what I'm thinking when I say stuff like that is I'm thinking, oh, I probably should have told Ron to do it this way and tell him why.
But the reason behind going from the bottom to top doesn't affect me because I'm not doing
nitro. You're not doing nitro, yeah.
So the reason, obviously, for that now I know is that if fuel gets on it, you want it to not actually sink down behind the covering that's on there.
Just like shingles on a house. You want the water to run off, not under. Right. So
that's my takeaway on that now is I build electric, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and it really doesn't. And it looks fantastic. I love how it's looking. So
it looks pretty good.
But yeah, either way, more often than not, it's when I ask you, why'd you do it this way? It's me internally. I'm saying, oh, I should have told Ron maybe do it this way because, and why? So anyway, like what I would say I've learned from you is I learned a great deal from the electric motor episode. And I've said that before. And I've also learned that you're actually, I mean, I always knew you were pretty good with technology and stuff like that, but you're like really good with it. I mean, like
you're smart, Ron.
I didn't know how much I didn't know, but what I'm saying is I knew that I was an idiot when it comes to all this electronic stuff, but like compared to me, you're like a genius with it. So,
well,
and I knew that before, but this just really confirmed it.
Thank you. But low bar and all, you know,
Ron cannot take a compliment.
Not very well. No.
So somebody asked us, what is our favorite thing about the hobby? I'm assuming the question is relating to the hobby and not the podcast, because we've already kind of covered what our favorite thing about the podcast is.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
You want to go?
Sure. So like I've been involved in the hobby like a really long time, like according to Ron, forever. Since like it was
since before airplanes were a thing.
For you.
So like I have a lot of favorite things about the hobby, like because of how long I've been in it. I'm like, I've seen like the progression of technology. So like one of my favorite things about the hobby is watching and trying to like maybe not predict, but just wondering in amazement where the hobby is going to be in 5 years. Like 10 years ago, there's no way I would have said that, you know, we'll never have to worry about frequencies again, ever. You know what I mean?
And then so, 2.4 came
along. Then DSM popped up. And now, I mean, that's like the standard now.
Yeah.
I haven't worried about a frequency in, 10-ish years, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So I never thought, and that's like one of my favorite things about the hobby, just because I've seen those changes and it's neat to see, you know, what's coming next.
Yeah. See, I came into it without dealing with FM. And I don't know, like, time frame when I would have been coming in versus when, you know, the 2.4 became a thing.
Right.
But, like, seeing, because there's been a few changes since I've got into it, but not a ton when it comes to that. You know, no big changes like that. Like, I came in with LiPos. I came in with the 2.4 gigahertz. Actually, like, you, Crystal, you knew me before I did the RC stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you remember when I brought my first airplane home? Or
not really. You already had, you know, RC cars, trucks, so it was just another RC thing.
How little did she know?
No kidding.
Yeah, and now it's just straight planes right now.
Yeah, I still have a wall of cars. Mm-hmm. There's 12 or 13 of them hanging up on a wall downstairs, which actually, maybe I should take those down and hang airplanes there.
Hey, I just thought of that. There you go.
That's another wall for that.
Yeah, some airplane storage.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that's our future bathroom, by the way.
Future bathroom. Yeah. It's not a bathroom now.
It could be airplane themed.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
As long as there's no shower in there to mess with the balsa.
Yeah.
Nice. See how much you know?
Yeah, she knows all about the water and balsa. Don't
been
mix.
In it a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you've just learned.
Yeah, that's... Go on. Tell on me again.
Your trailer.
Yeah, yeah, my waterlogged trailer.
Mm-hmm.
We've covered
spent
it.
All that time.
Mm-hmm. She likes to bring that up a lot.
What do you mean a lot?
I bring it up every opportunity I get. I'm just glad someone else did it this time.
Well, because it invaded my garage now.
Mm. What invaded your garage?
The planes that were in the trailer.
No. Three walls is not invasion.
Three of the four walls. No, that's not an invasion.
Well, the fourth wall, those are the doors.
Poor Tom just has a section of the basement.
It's okay.
It's time for him to expand.
Yeah. So it wasn't really much of a transition for you when Ron got into airplanes then?
Not really. Definitely not in the beginning. Of course, now it's everywhere. But, you know, we have the plane in the corner in the living or the dining room.
I think that's decoration,
nice decoration
now.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yes, it's just a tail. But, you know, downstairs we have planes everywhere. And
Is that your favorite part, Crystal? Is that your favorite part about the hobby?
My favorite.
You don't have to decorate. Ron already did it.
Yeah.
I love how she says we have airplanes everywhere. Like, that's a bad thing. I'm just like, yeah, we do. That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, so, no, I guess it's not everywhere. Half the basement's planes. The other half is... filled with Piper's toys.
Well, see, once we get rid of Piper's toys, I have more room.
That's Tom's plan.
Actually,
when we get rid of one more kid.
I think it's funny because Crystal said before, like, she didn't realize when I first got my big plane that not everybody didn't have big planes.
No, I thought, you know, hey, that's a nice big plane. I was thinking there were bigger planes and it was just normal.
Mm.
Well, there are bigger planes.
Not very many. Just saying. That is a big plane.
And yes, well.
But getting smaller every day, though.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, there's like more and more bigger airplanes being produced every day.
Oh.
Like if you watch, you know, Facebook or YouTube.
Yeah, they're growing. Like that. That's for sure.
So eventually your big plane will be.
Just a plane.
Yeah.
Nothing big about it.
You know, just something to... just occurred to me, the Duelist is kind of a big plane. I'm not sure where I'm going to store that thing.
I was thinking of that too.
I mean, it's physically a big airplane. It doesn't have, you know, it's a one-piece wing, which is uncommon these days, you know, with airplanes that size.
And the nacelles have to stay on.
Yeah. They do.
It's kind of going to be a pain to find a place to store it.
Are you sick of talking about the Duelist? Be honest.
I think it's nearing its end. Yeah. I mean, we talk about it a lot.
We do. I could talk about Duelist for another couple months.
Well, I'm curious. I don't want to do that.
I'll be glad when it's done and it's his redemption plane.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't crash the first time out.
As long as he doesn't crash.
He's not, because he published a checklist for him to follow.
That's true.
Well, he knew beforehand to follow that checklist. Also.
He was excited. I'll defend you. It's okay. He was excited.
I won't.
Not as experienced then as I am now.
Good way to put it.
How about that?
Yeah, and I've said it before. Had you done your pre-flight back then, we wouldn't be doing this now.
That's true.
And so
I
don't know if that's awesome or bad.
It's awesome.
So what's next? What's after the Duelist?
Oh, gosh. Well, for me, I've got to finish the Horton project.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I think it's going to be full-on tri-motor.
Really?
I mean, that's really
good.
Once I finish the Horton, I don't really have anything. I mean, I have the Sopwith Camel, but that's already a decade
that's in the making.
That's his life's work.
Yeah, that's my life's work. Nice. I like how she puts that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, really, and then maybe beyond the tri-motor, you know, had you print the Pushy Cat plans for me, or I sent them to you. I haven't had you print them yet, but
Pushy Cat.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's called. It's called a Pushy Cat.
I forgot all about
dying.
That.
I'm dying.
It's like, who names that?
A guy.
That's the name of it.
Pushy Cat.
It's an airplane that has an engine at the back and pushes instead of being a tractor type.
So I understand the push. What about the cat?
Yeah. Play on words.
Words, I guess. Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a cool kind of a Formula One racer looking plane that's really unusual in the fact that it's pusher instead of a tractor. So and it's got a cool little T-tail and
Pusher plane sounds nicer.
Pushy cat. That's,
so is that on your list of things?
Eventually,
then?
It will be another plans build. But yeah, that's maybe down the road. But yeah, definitely finish the Horton for me and then start working towards the Tri-Motor. What about you?
Well, Tri-Motor obviously is coming up. You know, we talked about the Elder 40 before that I want to build.
Yep.
And since we know somebody that bought one, since I decided I want to build it, I think we're going to do like a 200% scale or something.
Big one.
Biggin. And then first thing is probably going to be making the laser.
I like how you said we're going to do a 200% scale one.
Well, of course, we are going to.
You know he's going to consult you.
What? No.
And you can critique it.
I mean, he can. So by the time we're done with the duelists, which we pretty much are, you are an accomplished plans builder. So you'll be able to accomplish an Elder plans build on your own, right?
Oh, I probably will. I mean, yeah, but it's, I don't know. It's just easier to say we're going to do something. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. It's semantics. Sure. Okay. All right.
Well, maybe we are going to finish the Horton then. How about that?
Do you want me to? I can do it a lot quicker than you can. I
probably can.
He'll never ask you for help again.
Maybe that's the plan.
Yeah. All right. Here's one. So does the relative success, thank you, of the podcast make you guys more legit now that you have a small following?
I don't even know how to answer that.
Well, does it surprise you that you have people come back and support you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Does it make you feel like you know what you're doing?
Absolutely not.
Well, for me, it kind of does, because it's sort of like I'm not trying to sound like a,
you're getting ready to toot your own horn.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, so I'm always the first one to downplay, you know, how much I know. You know, like people say, oh, well, you know almost everything. I'm like, well, no, I'm no expert. And I'm not. And I really am not.
People tell me I'm the smartest person they've ever met. And I'm just like, no, no.
But having said that, the number of requests we get through email and through, you know, contacting us through the various ways that folks can contact us, I mean, we've reached a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And the stuff that we have said is like, you know, validated, if you will, like how much I actually do know. Like it surprises me going back and listening to some of the episodes and some of the questions we're getting for, you know, from listeners asking for advice to maybe elaborate on a point that we've made or whatever. It surprises me about like how much I actually do know. Like I'm quick to say I don't know everything, which I don't, but I do know quite a bit. And it surprises me, like, looking back, it's like, well, maybe I don't give myself enough credit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not surprised, because the very few times that I have gone to the field with you and the number of times people have asked you for help to the point where you don't even get to fly your planes because you're busy helping other people, that doesn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess for me, what I'm really trying to say is, without sounding, you know, conceited or anything, it's like, I mean, the question is, does the, you know, success of the podcast make you guys more legit? It's like, it just validifies to me that how much I actually validifies.
Validates.
Validates. Thank you.
Talking about knowing everything.
You put solidify and validate one word. You're so smart. You created a new word. What would you like to do in the future? And it doesn't have to be in 2021. It can be even further out. But what would you like to see happen?
Well, I don't think Ron can picture more than a couple months away.
No, yeah. I have not given it that much thought. That's a long time past 2021.
You have 5 minutes to think. Tom, go ahead.
Well, you're only giving me 5 minutes. Okay. Well, I mean, for me, I'd like to do big event coverage. I think that'd be fun.
That.
I think our listeners might enjoy that. I'd like to do more interviews with other knowledgeable folks in the hobby.
Interviews, I think, are awesome.
And then, you know, maybe eventually, if we can get some folks to cooperate with us, we'll do some product reviews and maybe giveaways, you know?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That's cool. Great.
That's perfect. I don't have to answer. And that wasn't 5 minutes.
That's not true. That's true. Still have to answer.
Everything he said, except for the going places in front of people, that I don't know about.
No, I think that's where I would have a lot of fun. Going to the fly-ins, set up a little tent area, interview people, video. Yeah. Selling our lovely merchandise. And
I will happily go and let you guys do the talking, and I will do the technical part. How's that sound?
Well, another thing that I would love for you guys, because you guys have talked about it, making custom plans.
Custom planes, is that what you said?
The plans for the planes.
Oh.
So how do you?
No, you're right. That is very difficult, and that's why we haven't gone any farther.
That's high level.
We're talking about the future.
Well, that's true.
I mean, that would be awesome.
I could see doing that. Mm-hmm. But
it'd be neat to kind of have, you know, our own brand.
Oh, I'd love to have my own kit line.
And then produce some kind of kit or something. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be cool.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
So, if anybody has ideas of what they want us to do, if you're still listening, reach out and let us know. Yeah.
And how would they reach out, Ron?
Oh, there's multiple ways. Multiple ways. Lots I mean, ways I can't even count how many ways there are to get a hold of us.
Let's count. One.
Two.
Four. Well, we can't do more than eight because you can't count that high, apparently.
All right. So you can...
Nice. Hey, that's on you, too.
It is me. Apparently, I don't know the number that comes after seven.
Seven again, I guess.
Seven. So you can contact us through, you can go right to the RC Plane Lab website. There's a contact us form there. There's also our email addresses, tom@rcplanelab.com and ron@rcplanelab.com. We have a phone number.
818-351-9846.
You can leave us a voicemail or you can text us also at that number. You can contact us through Facebook. We have a Facebook page. Lots of ways to contact us.
All right. So is that it? Or does anybody have anything else they want to talk about?
Well, this was fun.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Crystal, I don't think we'll be invited back.
It's going to be a while. Anyway. All right. Until next time, I'm Ron.
I'm Tom.
I'm Lori.
And I'm Crystal.
But it's just going to be Tom and I. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the RC Plane Lab Podcast. For topic suggestions, to ask questions, or to give any feedback, connect with us at rcplanelab.com or email us direct at either ron@rcplanelab.com or tom@rcplanelab.com. You can also text us or leave us a voicemail at 818-351-9846. Please subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast app. Until next time, may your landings be gentle.